Mawashi Plant Protein, vanilla, 2 kgs, $85.49. That's an absolute deal. If you like protein powder, you got to get your protein in, eh, bro?
Oh, without a doubt. We're asked to stay skinny, not us.
You actually use protein? Let's move on.
Stop yelling at me, Jordan.
The amazing Chemist Warehouse.
Yes, indeed. Chemist Warehouse, proud sponsors of The Morning Shift.
Yes, I do. Thank you very much.
With Chemist Warehouse.
Let's push.
Give me some.
Let's go. Never fold.
Ten toes down, baby.
You know who it is.
I'm trying to be like you,
mother.
Shush.
It's too late to turn back now.
The Morning Shift. Powered by Uno Media.
Yes, kia ora, good morning, good evening, and everything in between. It's your welcome Wednesday. We here for our morning shifters, from our misters to our sisters. We back for another show, just in case you missed us.
Do the distance.
Powered by You Know Media. Mwah.
Kia ora whānau, stay blessed.
No stress.
We've got you covered like a sundress. Welcome to officially the number one show. If you call down under your home, welcome to New Media, the People's Media.
Let's pull.
Say no more, take your shoes off at the door. Everything you want, nothing you don't. Real people, real talk.
And if we ain't number one on the charts, hopefully we're number one in your heart.
Let's get it, get it.
Hey, hey.
Hump day, baby.
Hey, we might have a couple of new shifters, because they got on the pre-sale link for the 660 Grassroots Australian Tour. If you are listening now, welcome. Don't go back and listen from the start and catch up. Too many episodes.
You're good.
Just hop right in here. We're a weekly show, weekly yarn.
You ain't gonna miss a damn thing daily.
Let's get it.
Hey, what is on the show today? Jordan, in his words, is gonna blow our minds.
I'm going to blow Brooke's mind, because it's not that hard. So,
wow.
Why are you yelling at me today, man?
What?
Wow.
Where's the violence from?
Yelling.
You woke up and chose violence.
Genuinely, I don't care about anyone else's minds, but I want you to be like, bro.
He loves you.
I need that bro moment.
Okay.
I'm not saying you're dumb. I'm not saying that.
No, you did.
No, I didn't.
You did.
No, I didn't. Did I use those words?
Hey, we're going to talk about star signs today. Mark has convinced me, and we're going to go there once again. Last week, we talked about one and clubs we shouldn't go to. This one is star signs we shouldn't date.
Oh.
You guys have talked, haven't you?
Oh, maybe we haven't. Or maybe we have.
Teasable. Mark, we go back to, it's a little bit different today with True News.
It is. There's actually a very pressing news story that has been forwarded through to me on many occasions, something I think we should all know about. So instead of throwing three stories out there today, I've got one where I want to discuss.
Love that. And then, Jordan, I'll let you do the honors for Men's Den.
Guys, the Men's Den today, we're having an amazing chat with three amazing actors and best friends, Bueller, Dom, and Neil. They're doing a theatre show called Love You, G. And basically, however you think theatre show is, they're going against the grain. It's amazing. Can't wait for it.
Can't wait for you guys to hear that one as well. But we always start the show with an absolute boy band Wednesday, so Jordan takes over.
Correct, it is. Let's get it.
I feel like this is coming to an end.
If you don't know what the vibe is, guys,
and it's better for me to,
it's when we just
let it go now.
Vibe out to a bit of music to start the show.
And hold on,
little
and
kind of
to say this, it's coming from my heart. It's been a long time coming, but when it been fell apart, I really want to work this out, but I don't think it's gonna change. I do, but you do. Think it's best we go our separate ways. And I should stay in this relationship when I'm hurt.
For your Wednesday, Burn Happiness from Mana Lang 2 on SoundCloud. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but giving you a shout out.
Give the mana.
Giving you a shout out.
Light the vibes today, light the vibes.
How are we going today, birds?
I'm really good, guys. I've registered for what's called a Thornton's auction account. Now, you guys know I love a deal. I love a good deal. Any way I can save money, that's what I'm about. I do it all the time when I go to Costco. You know, I package my meat different. This is different. I feel like Trade Me's the learner account when it comes to auctions. Online auctions. And I feel like when I was on Trade Me for a long time last night. I was looking for a car, still looking for a car, just to run around. Just, you know, something that I can spend cheap money on. And then I thought to myself, you know what, I'm past Trade Me.
Someone found your car. They offered it on the page. Did you not see?
I didn't see, no.
Someone's offered to buy theirs. It's got a red Joe, everything.
Oh, okay. Well, then maybe I don't need to do this. Anyway, for the sake of the story, though, Thornton's auction house is like, it's kind of like, they do like police auctions and stuff like that for vehicles, stolen watches. Like, this is where I've gone and I've taken my inner need to get a deal to another level. Learners is definitely Trade Me. Marketplace, perhaps. But this, boys, you have to register. You get a number.
What do I want to do, man?
Like a little online panel that you hold up the number to say, yep, I'm keen to buy that. At the moment, though, the only thing that they're selling is like the Scholastic's like overflow of books and stuff. So that was boring. I'm not gonna bid on anything there. But I'm looking forward to. There's a couple of auctions I've got coming up. One is like someone's selling their entire house.
What?
Not the house itself, but everything in the house. They're moving to Australia, is what the description is. There's cars, there's couches, there's tables. They're not taking any of their gear with them. Bro, this is the thing, though. Like, that's what I'm so excited about. I need nothing. I don't need anything, right? But I want to go to that auction just to see if there might be something that I could just pick up for a deal. They might have, like, a Sega Mega Drive.
Take me with you.
Hey.
Take me with you.
It's just, like, I'm so excited now that I'm registered that I can actually, I don't know, bid on something I don't need.
Don't take, whatever you do, leave the motorbike. Take everything else. Leave the motorbike.
Oh, you reckon?
Don't.
Are you talking about the confiscated motorbikes?
Yeah, leave those on bike. Yeah,
don't ride those around town? No, okay.
I'm with Jordan. We got to come along with those.
Annoying. Yeah, I'm excited.
Boys, this is amazing. I just wanted, this is a quick check-in. How long can you guys plank for? Let's start with that. Like, let's just say, actually, not even right now. The max time you would have ever planked for. What do you reckon it is?
Honestly, like, on the line as a test, I could get to 3 minutes.
I think is incredible.
But normally, I'm just like minute. I'm like rest. You know what I mean? Like,
but life on the line, you can get.
But
to
life
three?
On the line, three.
Mark, in your prime, what you looking at?
45 seconds.
Yeah. So I'm terrible at planks. So I'm looking at a minute.
We're long bodies.
You got abs.
We're long bodies.
There's this 50-year-old grandma in America has just broken the world record. 4 hours.
Not impressed.
30 minutes and 11.
Not impressed.
What a loser. Seconds.
Not impressed.
How are you not impressed?
That's the most impressive thing I've ever heard in my life.
This is what I always thought. Like,
it's incredible, bro.
It is actually anything about it. Eh?
Short limbs. Like, don't get it twisted. Like, for taller people, it's harder. It's a lot harder to keep your, like, it's harder to lift weights.
That's crazy.
Because the fulcrum area, it's different.
Like, he said short limbs to 4 hours.
Grandma,
short limbs,
bro.
Short limbs, easier to lift.
Everything's hard at all, though. If you're not above 6 foot, you can't enter this conversation, and we all are.
Mark, that's a whole Warriors game. That's a whole Warriors game. She just held it there.
No, that's a whole golf game, bro.
That is incredible to me. I heard that, and I said, wow, Guinness World Record, 4 hours, 30 minutes.
What do you think she's mad about?
Nah.
That's disgusting. Let's get into Daily Bread. That's right, guys. Daily Bread, breaking bread
with the news of today.
And today is April 17th. That's 108 days deep into the year. 258 left to get her done.
Get her done.
It is World Circus Day today, where we celebrate circus artists, the craftsmanship behind it, the creators, the performers, the big tent.
This is the greatest show.
Are we circus fans?
I've decided I don't know about circuses anymore, eh? Like, I haven't been to a circus that hasn't given me a vibe of, like, something sinister and evil is happening out the back.
Not a fan of the carnival.
Come round the corner. Cirque du Soleil is great, though.
Yeah, that's a circus.
Yeah, I think once circuses were no longer bringing the animals around, you know how they used to train animals?
I mean, that's where you drew the line.
Yes, we're. Yeah. I don't want to go back there, but I'm just saying, like, you know, when the bear stopped juggling on the cycle, like. Anyway, it's also it's Malbec World Day.
Malbec. Wine?
Yeah. Ooh. Go on, Brooke. Tell us all about it.
Well, no, I'm not really with the Malbecs just yet, but I would love to know a little bit more. At the end of the year, come back and ask me because that's my master's.
Apparently, Argentina wine of heritage. It's the Malbec is like, you know, the champion Malbecs all come from Argentina. That's their creme de la creme of reds.
Yep.
And finally, International Bat Appreciation Day.
Well, not at the moment. Like, we don't love them so much.
Bats are scary.
They put us through the ringer.
Is it just me or is it
terrifying?
They are.
Bro, I lived in Cairns once and a bat came into my house.
Happy International Bat Appreciation Day.
My bad.
You go do your one now, Jordan.
Guess who isn't that? A Russian blogger gets 10 months for tickling a statue's breast, like jokingly on the camera. So like she was taking a video of herself and she was like pretending to tickle the statue.
What's up with you today?
No, I'm serious. This is like, this is what happened. And the blogger, like, Russia don't play. You know, Putin don't play, bro.
Yeah.
You show respect and you follow the rules. Brittany or Griner. She got 10 months in jail because they caught the video. They said, don't be doing that. Make an example tickling. Of you.
Mm-mm.
10 months in jail.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That and that's right.
You've been to Russia, eh?
I have.
What was Russia like?
I went to this place called Vladivostok. No, yeah, Vladivostok.
That
Vladivostok.
Sounds like, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That
sounds like Russia.
And I had a vibe. Like, the sun went down at 11.
11?
Shut up. I'm not even playing with you.
11 a.m.
11 at night.
11 at night, the sun went down.
Oh, 11 a.m. Yeah.
Cat.
Promise you. And there was a place, the one thing I remember was Krasivaya, which means you are beautiful. And then they also had a place called Kapioke.
You would learn that.
You would learn that.
You would learn that, bro.
Kapioke, which I thought was karaoke. And I went in there, and that was a place where you go late at night and you actually pay for experiences. I was like, wait, I can't sing Whitney.
Where's the microphone?
Wait, what's going on?
How come y'all ain't singing with me?
I'm sorry, I gotta walk out here. It's not for me, but that's what I remember about it. But I had a good time. I know it's probably. There's a lot going on at the moment, but
what an experience that was.
What an experience, you're absolutely right. Hey, mine today, I want to congratulate someone who is probably never going to listen to this, but she is moving the needle. She's absolutely incredible. Caitlin Clark just went number one in the WNBA draft. Now, she's so good. This is something that I probably in the past wouldn't have spoken about, but the way that she is changing the game, moving mountains, the money that is going to be coming to these women, she's so good that she went to the Indiana Fever. And teams are changing their home stadiums to when they play her to bigger stadiums.
So they can make money.
So they can fit more people into it.
Wow.
So like when she plays in Vegas, Vegas normally holds 12,000, they're moving to a 20,000 seat stadium.
Well, does WNBA block that big three deal? You know how she's only supposed to be on?
I'm not sure.
Like without endorsements and sponsorships, she's only getting paid 86,000 her first rookie year, but Big Three are offering her $5 million for like three games.
Well, the thing about women's basketball is actually bigger in Europe, so they make more money in Europe, but because you think NBA, it's in people's minds is the biggest female basketball sport.
But she could be the catalyst to change things,
without
though.
Without a doubt.
You know what I mean? Like if the other teams are starting to book bigger stadiums, you'd imagine that's a change for the good.
Well, so, and things are moving. Like Serena Williams is trying to buy the team.
Yeah, yeah.
Like people are trying to invest into it.
It's got to start somewhere.
Damn near all of her games are sold out already, and it starts with her. So Caitlin Clark and the rest of the girls that have been drafted in this year's draft are incredible, but she
draft classes
is something else. She is something else. So Caitlin Clark, congratulations.
Love that. That is your Daily Bread, guys. Breaking bread
with the news of today.
This is the Morning Shift.
Tracker.
You got me working. And we're putting in every day.
Here at the Morning Shift, we believe in going to mahi.
You got me working.
That could be described however you want. You want to put in the work? You want to do the dishes? Get to work. That's a life worth living. On your terms, you know? I'm not saying you have to, like, absolutely bow down to, you know, your boss or anything. Like, just, you know, get to work.
With a reason.
I said that kind of wrong. Anyway, I've set that up and we're not going back. Let's talk work icks. Because someone on our Facebook group, Shifters Page, said, we've heard about icks with women and men, but what are your work icks? Just quickly going around the room, what are our work icks? It's hard because I love you guys so
studio?
Much.
Yeah, I mean...
Oh, nah, Brooke. Brooke leaves his coffee cups on our table.
Bro, that is so rich. That is so rich.
I got money. So the other day, he leaves his coffee cup on my table. I see and I'm like, okay, I know what he's trying to do. Clearly, he's trying to shake me off my game before the show.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
He's Mark, clearly don't do
trying
that.
To... I'm just,
Mark,
I'm
don't
listening.
Do that.
I'm listening.
In therapy, I learned... that no one can make me feel anything. I choose to feel that way. So I know what he's doing now. I said, he's trying to rock me. I said, what are you doing putting your cup on my desk? He said, what's it? His words, Mark, what's it to you? It's not bothering you.
Hold on, tone was very different though.
Sorry.
No, it wasn't.
What's it to you? What's it to you?
Exactly.
What's it to you?
Exactly.
No, what's it to you?
What's it to you? Violent, right, Mark? Violent.
I don't want to get in the middle of this.
He's put his coffee cup and his thinking behind it and his justifying was, I'll see it on the way out to take it to the kitchen on your desk. I won't see it on my desk. A key.
Well, the desk, your desk is closer to the door, so I can see the logic behind it. But I'm not saying it's Mark. Like,
go to hell, on the way.
It's on the way.
You are going
to
get there.
Go to hell!
WorkX, meetings that could be an email.
Oh.
Those get me. And we don't even really have too many of those, but always meetings that could be an email. And people who cook fish in the microwave.
Thank you.
Bro, don't.
Get in the sea.
Leave that at home.
Tangaroa.
There's things you can
do. You're not supposed to be on land. Can't. Get.
Stinking out the rest of the room for
like,
all of us.
Honestly, even how shameful is like fish breath around the office? Oh, like, it's already bad eating it. Like,
they have to sit with that for the rest
of the
afternoon.
I know you didn't bring a toothbrush.
Right. Right?
That's very true. Well, this person said, a customer service absolute ick for me is when girlies pull money out of their bra. Like how are you comfortable digging around your bitties like that in the goddamn public? Miss girl? A related ick to that is when the money is warm. She also said, ladies, I understand that pockets are non-existent for a lot of us when it comes to our kākahu, like pants, our wear, but it doesn't mean you can't get away with a bag of wallet.
How do we feel about a coin being pulled out of a bra?
Let's get to
the notes is one thing.
True. Yeah, warm.
Yeah.
Warm coin.
I don't really.
Would it rash?
I don't really deal with that customer service. We don't got. We're struggling to get money in here, so let alone warm. Here's a little fact though. Do you know why a lot of women don't have pockets on their jeans or their pants? They don't make them with pockets on them. A lot of them.
No, I don't.
Well, here's the mind-blowing fact, Brooke. It's to encourage women to buy handbags.
Get out.
Oh, yeah, that's
my cool. Name's Jordan. I'm him.
Wow. You ladies are getting played.
The ecosystem, they're all working together.
Like, you know, so many women's jeans, like, have sewed-on pockets that don't work.
But
like, they look like pockets.
I know.
They look like pockets. But they don't have a pocket. They're
That's
sewed
the
across.
Reason?
It's to encourage females to buy handbags.
Where do you put your handkerchiefs?
Oh, well, that's it, Mark. Probably down their bra.
Gosh.
Honestly, right next to the note.
You're the only one in New Zealand who still has a handkerchief in your pocket every day in 2024.
And I promise you,
actually, that's my work ethic. That is 100%. There's like snot in your pocket right now.
That's the same one as yesterday, Mark.
No, I've got the same colors.
Oh. New one. I guarantee you, you are the only person listening right now that thought that as well.
Where's the handkerchief gonna go?
That was good though, Jordan.
Mind blown.
Yeah, it was actually good.
Yeah, that is good. We won't get into the beauty industry because that would just be. That's not our place. That's not where we want to be. Cheyenne says, work ick for me is watching the most useless, consistently awful at their job not get made redundant, but someone who is bright and eager to work, who I am training up, I let go. Like, ask the damn manager of the apartment. What's going on?
It sounds like a year's build up.
That's true. Someone also said one time they saw a man pull it out of his undies. That's not good.
What?
A lot of people saying, agreeing with you, Brooke, like the work emails for meetings, like just send me an email.
Just send me an email. You don't have meetings about meetings? Those are, grinds my gears.
That is WorkX. I really just came here to bring that handbag mind-blowing fact, but
it was actually pretty good.
I might have said it wrong, so if I got that wrong, I don't think I did though.
I'm
pretty sure that's the case.
Yeah, the ecosystem of it all working together.
Don't buy a handbag, ladies. The man pockets. Peace.
This is the morning shift.
Yeah.
Shifter's Mark out of my ear. He said,
"Let's make love."
Well, he didn't say that. That's the last thing he actually said to me. He said, last week we went at a star sign, we went at Aries. If you missed it, there's a club over in America that won't allow Aries into the club.
I mean, when you stacked up the evidence, Aries.
We started to break it down just a touch, you know what I'm saying?
If anyone owns a mirror, just saying.
Made sense to me why I wouldn't be in that club. This week we're going with the most unlovable star sign. I know, man.
Why would you do that?
The one that we shouldn't be dating. Actually, let's go the other side first. Let's go with the most lovable.
Okay.
We'll warm into it. Yeah, yeah. I'll give you the top one. And I did some research on this. Obviously, there's a few different articles that will come out.
How did you research it, bro?
I read about four or five, and then I went on TikTok. So I went with the medium of them all and the one that came through the most. So let's go with number one. What do you think is the most lovable and dateable star sign?
Pisces.
I'm not even going to play this game.
Jordan,
nah, Jordan's right.
Oh.
I'm not even going to play the game. It's Pisces. Do you know why?
I know star signs.
It's the 12th sun sign. I have no idea what that means, but it sounds good.
Mm.
It's known to be the most romantic and emotional in the group. It is said that a person who falls for a Pisces gets the best companion for life.
Wow.
A lot of empathy.
That's hard to compete with.
Whew.
So if you're a Pisces or...
They're going to hold your inner child's hand to healing. You know what I mean? They're not going to pack you in.
They are going to hold it down.
Listen to him. He knows it. What are we doing today, though? We're doing the worst star sign.
Yeah, the most unlovable.
Let's see if old star sign man can pick it here.
Mm. Well, let's go through. First of all, do you guys know the star signs of your partners?
Yes. Obviously, I don't have one, so I can't do it.
Virgo, yes.
Virgo.
Mark?
Scorpio.
You could do it. Like, you could go, what's the one you want?
Pisces.
Steak and cheese, Pisces.
Pisces, please. All right, guys, the most unlovable...
I could tell you.
An undateable star sign today. Actually, Jordan, give it a go.
Well, I'm not going to tell you, but I would assume it's in the Scorpio range. Scorpion? What is it?
Yeah, Scorpio.
Scorpio?
Yeah, my son's Scorpio.
It could be Cancer.
Cancer did feature, but it's not Cancer.
It could also be Capricorn. But
no, Capricorn's featured really high.
Who wrote it? Who wrote your list? You know what I mean?
Jordan, I hate to break it to you.
Here we go.
The most undateable and unlovable star sign is a Sagittarius.
What?
That's Mark.
Brooke.
Mother, I'm just the messenger.
Brooke.
Oh, did you have a little conversation with Brooke? Did you trying to set me up?
No, he actually didn't. He said, this would be a good idea. Yeah. Mark, all I am is this messenger, and I'm not really with the star sign, so I think I'm the best person to be the messenger.
Fair enough. Yeah, go on, lay it on me. Why?
Yeah.
Why?
I'll back you up, Brooke.
When it comes to relationships, they prefer freedom rather than commitment.
Independence.
They love to jump from one activity or person to another. So that's probably the last thing that
we're independent people.
He's
sorry.
Been married for a very long time now.
Sorry, we've got our own goals and aspirations. You can come for the ride, though.
Hey, you can respond after this, bro. Oh.
They love to jump from one activity and person to another. Is that what you want in a relationship, Jordan?
Mm-mm.
Hang on, let me check.
No.
Additionally,
they don't like to talk about feelings or emotions. Issues like this, they suppress. I don't want that in my relationship. It's best, it actually finishes with, it's best to look elsewhere.
Okay. Yes, we're joking.
Sorry, Mark.
Yes, we're joking. However, we don't care about Mark, but to the other Sagittarius people, someone wrote this on the internet, okay? Anything is possible.
Well, okay? You got
to
believe
it. I'm still failing to see any fault here. Like, if you were...
And that is the problem, Mark.
Jordan.
They also need a lot of space in relationships, which can make them feel distant and uninterested in times. That's
Do you see what's happening here, partner Jordan? A deep sense of dependency and freedom. However, a deep want for space.
It's confusing.
You have no desire to get close.
Oh, sorry. You want suffocating love. Is that what you want?
Yes.
When you guys want to go out to, I don't know, have a party with the boys, you want me to be going, no, I'm coming with you.
When I hug someone, I want my partner to hug my toes too. You know what I mean? Like, from arms to legs, I want my toes hugged.
Knee pashing,
everything. I don't want no space.
No distance.
Get over here.
Bring that here.
Here, girl.
You know what I'm saying? So, Mark.
Just winding me up.
I'm just the messenger. Saggy's out there. Be better. And if you're looking for love, look in another direction.
You know where we'll go next week? Because you'll like these more. We'll get to the numerology next week. The star signs, they're like...
Wishy-washy,
like basic stuff. Basic stuff. Zodiac signs are basic stuff.
Yeah.
Men lie, women lie. The numbers don't lie. You know?
We're going to change it.
The numbers, your birth date. What is your birth date? Like, don't say the year, just the... 25th of...
November.
25-9. Oh,
you're
nine.
Almost a Scorpio.
11. 25-11.
Oh, is that your master number?
What?
What are you talking about?
Sorry, I'm going to shut up, but it's coming next week. It's
hey,
very,
can
very
I just
exciting.
Say then, to end this, if you are looking for someone who's obsessed with you,
Pisces.
Who stalks you, don't try and find love with a Sagittarian, because they'll give you space... They'll allow you to be the person you want to be.
Yeah, come on.
And they'll join you in the middle.
Take it home. Ooh. Come on.
That's
flip
what,
it around,
hey,
baby. Flip
what
it
I'm
around.
Saying.
Come on.
If you want to be, you know, if you want to have a good love where you can grow as a person, as an individual, and then you guys can come together.
You sound
a couple.
Now. You sound
Sagittarius can't do the work for you.
No.
The work that you need to do.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we'll
I
meet
you
in the middle. We will definitely meet you in the middle, though.
I got you.
This is the morning shift.
Kia ora, good evening and everything in between. I'm Jordan.
And I'm Brooke.
And this is True News
for you.
Gentlemen, most weeks I will bring three stories, but this week it's...
one and done.
It's one and done, really, yeah. A story that has popped up quite quite frequently and one that I wanted to get you guys' take on as well. it's, I guess, every other news story to me feels like a bit of a distraction at the moment over a story that's around the Fast Track Bill, which the government is pushing through quickly.
Ooh-wee.
Yeah. So the Fast Track Bill, and I think something most people should know about, it's a way that we cut the red tape, the white tape, the yellow tape, whatever it is, and get projects that are looking to bring money into the country up and running quicker without having to go through a whole lot of, I guess, the white tape, going through all the different places and people that need to have their say on whether or not that project will be good for the country or whether it'll be good for the environment or whether it'll be good for the locals, all that kind of jazz. So at the moment, it seems to be a pretty lethargic task if you are looking to start a business, especially when it comes to mining or gathering things like that. And so the current coalition are looking to make sure that that can be quicker and it's approving of consent quicker and so on. So basically what they want to do is they want to put what's called the expert panel together. The Minister of Infrastructure, Chris Bishop, Regional Development Manager, Shane Jones, and Transport Minister, Simeon Brown. So ultimately what this will do is give
only one of those experts.
Which one?
Shane.
Shane? What's he an expert
I just mean like, and this is what's hard about him being in the news for this type of stuff, because you'd be hard-pressed to find someone more knowledgeable on the treaty than Shane. Simeon, what, is he 21? The other bro?
He's
did
the
he just, I just seen him like in politics like last year, you know? Could be very wrong on that, but...
Well, it's funny you should bring up the Treaty of Waitangi or Te Tiriti, or with the difference being is if this was pushed through and there was such a thing as the expert panel put together... I think the interesting thing is that the treaty no longer really has any ground to stand on. And I think that's where the concern is coming from. Also, know there's a massive concern for those who care for the environment because, you know, all of a sudden, no court approval is needed. They can't sort of stand in the way of anything. If Mr. Bishop, Mr. Jones, Mr. Brown say, yep, let it happen.
So it's basically these three are in power.
Yeah.
Of but any that, bill but the, that needs to be passed.
This forward. Isn't going to be passed, is it?
Well, at the moment...
They're just trying to pass.
It's looking likely that it will pass. Yeah. Unless people have their say on it.
Mark, I'm so sorry. I stay away from the news a lot of the time. I'm speaking for people that are listening to this that are like me. How can they pass a bill like this?
This government...
This government's...
...has found a way of fast-tracking everything. So, and ultimately, I think a couple of days ago, they were talking about being able to... I guess landlords were able to charge people now for a rent bond. Sorry, a pet bond, right? So if you were wanting to rent off them, now you can put money, 2 weeks' worth of money into a bond for your pet.
So 6 weeks now for your bond.
Basically for that. But they all seem to be little wee side projects that are happening while this is being fast-tracked through and people are sort of sitting there going, what? And
so what does this ultimately mean?
It means things like that have been, I guess, put on hold because of legal standing. Something like you would have heard about the Australian company coming in to try and launch offshore mining and a project near Taranaki. They want to try and get a whole lot of the sand, the iron sand out. And I think it's in the number around 3 billion tonnes of iron sand out of Taranaki and sell it. This Australian company wants to come in and do it. So what that would do is obviously bring jobs to Taranaki. What it would do is bring money into the economy as they see it, and that's what they're aiming to do. But what it doesn't take into account is the iwi, who obviously are looking out for the land. It doesn't take in any of the conservations or the fact that DOC, you know, the land that DOC owns, it doesn't take any of that into account. It just goes, no, you guys have no say in this. Ultimately, what's happening now is these three men decide and we become... I guess we sit back and
just let them
and
do
watch
what
it
they do, what they think is right.
You know what I hate about politics, bro? Like, is...
Politics.
Exactly, bro. Like, our politicians are so combative, and the language that they use is such a bunch of wishwash bullshit. that as public, we're not actually able to see like properly what the goal is here. You know, if you align yourself to tangata whenua and you align yourself to the concept of kaitiaki and the way that we've looked after the land, obviously this is a huge issue. If you didn't come from that environment, type of upbringing, it's kind of like, I'm just, you know, I'd like to see the economy grow. Obviously you're going to be more skewed that way. But I never know what the actual problem is, because I absolutely get we have to look after the environment, that is something we need to uphold. But I also see so much of people crying out that this economy is affecting them and they can't have jobs and we have huge problems. And I'm not saying this is the scenario to make these two comparisons, but often we're not able to see. We do need a better economy, and obviously this is might not be the way to go about it, but I just always feel like I'm stuck between like a catch. I never know like really what is the issue, what are the problems. I just see people fighting on both ends of what they feel is completely right, and as a public it's so confusing to see, you know, because we don't actually read the policies. You know, we don't actually understand, like we can read a headline and it can be saying like this is going to happen, and then we see this side going at it and this side going at it, but we don't actually know if that's actually the case. But
I think the
so
thing,
confusing, bro. That's
it
what
is
I'm
confusing.
Saying.
But I think there is very little way of telling exactly how badly this could go or how great it could go. What you do know, though, from in the past, especially when we've had mines, that the environment does very much get affected. Mm. And some of the projects that are looking to take advantage of this fast track bill, it's mining, bro. Like it is literally they're going to go into pristine land where there's birds, where there's ferns, where there's our, you know, forest. Like they're going to go into this pristine land, they're going to mine it, they're going to get money for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to help the economy, but what is that going to do? What's the flow-on effect? What's that going to do for everybody in the region? Like, it's just, there's so much of the unknown that no matter what headline you read, it's always going to be right or left.
And that's my hard point is like, okay, let's say that isn't the answer. Awesome. We're not going to do that.
What is the answer? Totally. You know what I mean? For
people can't. You know, we understand
it
inflation
feels like,
now.
For me,
you know, it's that's what just makes me feel suffocated by all of these headlines and all of these, like, no one seems to have the answer.
Whanau, if I'm being honest, I think you should Google Fast Track Bill,
okay,
and go and read some stories on it, because this is your future. This is your country. Is the cost of living worth doing what they're looking to do here? Are they making the right choice? Are they not? You will sit somewhere in between those headlines and be like, okay, I feel comfortable with this, or you won't. Either way, know about it. That's why we do it on the show.
What I don't feel comfortable about is, and maybe I've got this kind of wrong and it's not as black and white as it seems, but you give these three people here complete power.
So you're talking to me now. Yeah.
To control bills, put through bills that the country may not believe in, agree in, but you're putting the power in these three people, men's hands, to control, I guess, the future of what happens to New Zealand in the next foreseeable future.
And let's not forget,
that's a worrying sign to me.
Let's not forget, they want the balance sheet to look good when it comes to the next election, going, look how much money we made, though. Yeah, but what did you do to the environment? Like, what did you do to that area? Like,
what do we
can we ever
where?
Get that back? Yeah, those
but
are the...
that's what's confusing, is Shane Jones is incredibly has an incredibly in-depth knowledge on the treaty, more than anyone could probably question him on. And so him being a part of this deal... I just need to know. We could get him on the show. I know he'd love to come on the show. But like, yeah.
Ultimately, he's bypassing the treaty though by making this fast track bill. So again, like it, I'm stuck.
Yeah.
I'm stuck. More reading to be done. More learning to be done. But that's your true news for today.
Woo! I'm Jordan.
And I'm Brooke.
And we don't know anything. Just trying to get to better questions. And that was true news
for you.
This is The Morning Shift.
But my life is good.
The Men's Den. Thanks to Spates Summit Ultra.
That's a goodie today.
Time to relax.
Ooh.
Into the Men's Den, where everybody is welcome, and it's all thanks to our mates at Spates. Helping mates be better mates.
Be better mates. And on today's Men's Den, guys, the conversation you're about to hear is with there are three of our very good friends. They're talking about a theatre show they're doing, but it's not to be discounted that these guys as actors have worked with some of the biggest actors in Hollywood. They're some of the best actors in this country and have won best actor in like TV and shows. Like what they're doing, they're talking about a little theatre show, but they are juggernauts.
And
what
we hold
they
to
do
a
here.
Very high esteem.
Yeah, 100%. But this chat, maybe Mark, you could give a tease before we go in. How was this chat for you?
This chat is raw, open, and honest. And I think there's something mentioned in there where the art is really nailed when the conversation continues past the theatre. Mm. And I think that's a real badge of honour for us as well. And Spates with the Men's Den, because like that's what happens in this. They're talking about in a space that we've created, what they're creating for all the shifters. And that warms my heart.
Wicked. Listen to it. Love you guys.
All right, in our studio right now, you can't see, but we are on the Men's Den beautiful lush leather couches.
Yes.
This is our Men's Den segment. Thanks to Spates, helping mates be better mates. This is very exciting for me personally because we've been waiting to have this chat. There are three juggernaut giants on the couch today. I'm going to read their synopsis, so bear with me. This is what they've sent me, okay, Mane? I'm reading it word for word. We're dicks, we're idiots, we're guys, we don't dive deep. Long-time massive company members, Dominic Onoariki, Neil Amituanai, and Beulah Kuale met while creating and performing with Massive over 15 years ago. They have been best mates ever since. But what happens when their friendship fractures and they need to work out how to put it back together? When ignoring it stops working, Neil, Beulah, and Dom have to work it out to fix their friendship or walk away. Full of trademark, massive cheek humour, gift, and a whole lot of heart, I Love You G is a gutsy and at times uncomfortable love letter to a brotherhood, a joyous invitation to soften the F up. Can we give a whole much pukapaki please for Beulah, Dom, and Leo?
Sure, thanks for having us.
Before I chuck it to you guys very quickly, these guys, they're huge in their space. They've done movies, they've done TV shows, but they're doing a theatre show together at the moment. They're collaborating and creating, and we're going to give an opportunity for all the boys here at the Morning Shift and 20 other shifters to go to this theatre show in May. Oof. So we're very excited. This is what we're talking about, but welcome to the show, boys.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
I have a lot of words, sorry.
Yeah.
If you don't mind me going, because for the audience, I think it's important kind of to know a little bit more. Can you just give a good rundown from Dom, Neil to Beulah, like who you are, what are you doing at the moment, and kind of why you're doing this? Just a quick intro for you guys.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I guess I'll go first. What am I doing at the moment? I've just been kind of doing TV work, just TV screen work. Just finished up doing a show called Double Parked. Finished our second season. But we've been wanting to make a show for a while, eh? And then when this opportunity came up, just felt right. So I'd say doing this amongst anything else is probably the most exciting thing for me. One, because we get to be on stage doing theatre, but two, because I'm just learning about myself more, but also learning more about my mates, my best mates. Yeah.
Yeah, kia ora. My name is Neil Amituanai. What am I doing at the moment? I took a break from all this acting stuff and everything, and I went away, lived life, worked a 9-to-5, and this opportunity here, the show with the boys, is my, I would say my, not really my comeback, but the first time where, you know, I'm ever doing something in a long time. Mm. And it feels good because I feel so rusty and out of touch being with the guys and being on stage, so... But I'm also loving it, eh? My inner child and my creativeness in me is like, man, I miss this so much, eh? And it's so good to be back. But yeah, for now, that's what I'm doing at the moment, and it's just step by step from here, and whatever comes, comes. Yeah.
Malo lover, everyone. My name is Beulah Kuale. Bro, I'm just buzzing off what your sister said. I was just listening to her, and I kind of have the similar mentality, like, I'm an actor, I've cracked it in America, and I'm killing it, and I tell myself every day I'm the best. I'm the best. I'm the best, and I have to chase the best, and I have to be the Samoan version of Cliff Curtis. That's my goal. We have to go past that, would be the best version of me. This is coming, wait, also Dom, last year he's being humble, he got best actor in New Zealand, the award, so, you know, I just give him those flowers. But yeah, this is us coming back to the dojo, coming back to the place where we learnt this craft that we now have as a job that pays our bills. So giving a chance to break our souls. Break our souls and let an audience watch us do that, and us challenge ourselves to make it theatrical and entertaining for an audience to watch that.
Oh, yeah. Super exciting. For us, and definitely myself included, I've always admired from afar. So to have you boys in studio here today is an absolute honor for us. I think I'm interested to see if you guys have the same answer. Maybe it's a different answer. Maybe I'll start with you, Beulah, this time. Yeah. You're obviously at a point now where you guys have known each other for so long. I think you guys could have done this at any point. You could have done it in the future. Why do you think now is the time that you guys want to dig your teeth into it and give this one a go?
Well, kind of everything happens for a reason, eh? And there was a point in our life that we do tell in this play. Well, I guess you can call it a play. It's not really like this is our life. We're telling you our life. We thought we were the epitome of best friends. We were the example of what best friends should look like. We talk. We have deep conversations. We do everything. Then the night before Neil's wedding, a crack happened in the bowl of our greatness. And then for 18 months, we refused to address the crack. The crack kept growing and growing and growing. And the conversation we're going to have on stage is, why do we even want this bowl? Mm-hmm. Yeah, why do we want the crack bowl? So I don't know if I answered your question, but yeah.
So this theatre show is about a real moment, like this actually happened.
A fracture
happened in your brotherhood on the night the night before your brother got married.
Yeah.
Yep. So what happened? Okay, I know we can't talk about it heaps because we've got to watch the show, but we've got to tease a little bit. Like,
yeah.
So
yeah.
You still got married and you still did lined up and you still did the yada yada like on the day.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. It's just the fact that it took us almost like 2 years to actually talk about it. So within those 2 years of not talking about what had happened the night before, I mean, the wedding day was beautiful.
Mm.
It was beautiful. But all of a sudden, you know, that's a long time. A lot can happen within 2 years. So all of a sudden, individually, you know, you start to fester thoughts. And then when you don't address these thoughts, when you don't get them out, they fester into bigger things and bigger things. And then all of a sudden, your perspective of your own friendship starts to morph into weird ways. So what we're doing on stage is having these conversations that we should have had, one, the night of, and two, within those two years that we hadn't spoken about it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get back to the show soon, but you guys all grew up in South Auckland.
Yep.
Mm.
And you're almost quite an anomaly in some aspects. Yeah. If you look at kind of the bravado and we can be seen as having strong bonds and brotherhood, but you guys have even said like you had good communication, you have those deep talks. Why do you think these things can sometimes happen and it can make or break us? Like, I guess if we're talking about mental health or if we're talking about why we don't, like, what have been some things some themes that you're exploring, maybe even culturally from your upbringing? Mm. Are those being explored in the show or between you guys? And what are you kind of learning through this process?
Yeah, we're learning. Nah.
Love it. It's great.
We're learning so much about our friendship, but it's more about ourselves. And we're learning where that comes from and where that started from. Usually started from our childhood. We're learning at problems that we didn't even know we had before we started making this theatre show. And why do I care about how Neil sees me? Why do I care about how Dom sees me? Because that's a me thing. It's not their perspective on me. It's like, why do I care about that information? Because it does affect how I operate in the world, how my best mates see me. And it makes me want to change. So then when that crack did happen, I thought that their perspective on me changed. And then the black dog came out a little bit. And he started to bark, and he barked loud in the head. But then we had to carry on. And we, like, in this 2 years, even though we didn't talk about it, they're the godparents to my kids. my twins. Like, we still did everything we'd done before the crack happened, but we just avoided the conversation that was underneath everything, and we pretended we were still happy families.
Can I ask you, because I know we're not like, it's hard to talk about this without you guys wanting to talk about what it is, but let's say this crack that happened, like, in that moment, what did it make you feel, Beulah? Yeah, like, let's talk about the emotions around it.
Well, yeah, we could literally tell you the show, but because even if you know the story, we're going to use theater to show you a different way to tell you the story. Like, what happened is we got into a big fight, and Neil said something to me that stung me, like, stung my soul. And it didn't sting me then. Like, it was like one of those poison arrows that just, like, just tips your heart, and then it bleeds black for the next couple of months, and you slowly die. And that's what happened. That that's my personal journey. But then also with Neil, he has his own one. But for me, it felt like when you drop black ink onto, like, a piece of paper, a wet piece of paper, and just a tiny drop, and then you watch the black ink just slowly take over the page. And that's what happened to my heart with our brotherhood over a space of 18 months. Neil, you know, something different for him. But.
Yeah, my one's slightly a little bit different, eh? Because I'm so used to getting angry and then walking away. And that's what we're taught, right? You know, if you get angry, just walk away. That's the best thing to do. And so far, it served me right up until that moment. And I couldn't just walk away at that moment, because these guys mean too much for me to walk away, you know. And for me, my journey was, I don't know what the in-between is. I don't know where we go from, boom, it happens, and then you have to walk away, but you can't, and so you have to sit in that anger, and you have to digest it, unpack it, and everything that comes with it. And I'm like, wait, so that wasn't anger. So what was that if it wasn't anger? And it's like sitting there, and then I go away, and I think to myself, like, you know, if that wasn't anger, what was that? Was that pressure? Was that anxiety? And me trying to figure out myself that if you can't walk away, then you have to learn to sit there, use your words, and find out what the medium is. And I was just trying to relearn everything about myself again. And I'm so good at it, you know. I walk away, and this time I couldn't, because that moment, that time, these guys, they all mean too much for me to do that, and that was the first time I had to just sit there.
Yeah. And for us being, like, in front row seats to that was pretty incredible to watch.
Ooh.
especially, yeah, because you don't see, like, the travel from 0 to 100. We just saw 0 and then snap straight to 100. And for someone to watch your best mate see red, but also watch him try to just harness it, just, like, harness all this, like, uncontrollable anger and just, like, simmer it down so he could just try and communicate what he was feeling in that moment. For me, that was pretty remarkable.
How did you guys deal with that space? I can only imagine, touch wood at the moment, I haven't gone through a situation like that. I can only imagine if me and this guy fisted for 18 months and how that would feel, but I don't know how I would get through it. I don't know where I would go to. I don't know what my backup plan would be. I don't know who I would talk to. How did you guys deal with a bond that you have had, and you've talked about it from day dot, you guys have been as thick as thieves, and then to separate on one of the biggest days, or the biggest day of your life, and then it kind of, you go your separate ways over the last 18 months up until the point where you sorted it out. How have you guys dealt with that relationship, or that feeling that you have of almost loss, I would imagine?
Yeah, that's what the show I Love You G is about. It's about all those questions. Yes. Like, we don't have answers. We have more questions. We're not fixed. We're like trying to go deep and wide within ourselves, not just deep. Deep is just, it's too narrow. So we have to go deep, and then we have to stretch out wide and grasp onto where these feelings come from. And I remember, like, watching Neil go through his thing and going, how did I miss all those signs? How did I miss him going to this moment? Because I saw nothing. Because what led up to that moment was just what we what we always do. We were just like mocking. Like, and you know, when we mock, especially when I mock, like I feel like I'm pretty elite in mocking. And I would go in and I will hammer away, because that's how I show you I love you.
Yeah. But I think that's like the learning as well, is it feels like quite a thin line that you walk sometimes with mocking. And I think that was the thing we were trying to figure out. Like, we thought we were the best of mates. So how do we celebrate you? By mocking the hell out of you, man. But then that thin line is like, I don't know, it was definitely crossed.
Mm.
Because in our head, we're celebrating you.
Mm.
But on the other side, you don't know what's going on. It's like, great, I'm just, everyone's just bullying me. I'm just the butt of the joke, and that's all I am.
This is such an interesting topic to me. I think mocking in our country, just as it pertains geographically to us, is like, it's unique, and it's something I don't experience other places. I know other cultures tease, but for us, and maybe you're exploring this in the show, but I've always thought the way we mock is connected to a coping mechanism. It's connected to safety. And I think in a lot of our environments where we grow up, where we aren't having healthy communications at home with parents, that's not modeled for us. So there's no way to regulate your emotions in a safe setting. So then you go to school and someone's saying your deepest insecurity, but you somehow instinctively know that you're not allowed to get mad about it because you're watching everyone get their insecurities brought up. And then in some toxic way, sometimes, because I don't want to throw this mocking under the bus, it's our tool to relate, but in some toxic way, it becomes a language you all use. Mm. But what I'm hearing is that, you know, in not being able to regulate, sometimes a fracture was made in your guys' friendships, and this is what I love you, Jeez, about.
Yeah.
Like, are you guys, and even like, and I don't know where to go with all these things, but I'm just so keen to watch this theater show, because even the I love you, G, is like the perfect name. Because I've said I love you, G, when there's actually things I'm very annoyed at you about. But I know it's this thing to say. I've said I love you, G, when I'm not even like feeling it, but I understand that our relationship means I have to say that. Like, that is that the stuff you're, what do you guys think about that stuff? Do you guys agree with me or experiencing?
No, totally. Like, every time we listen to the men's den, that's the men, like, our show, I Love You, G, is the men's den on stage in a theatrical way. Like, and it's not just deep. Like, in the synopsis, we're dicks, we're idiots. Like, and we are. Like, you're going to, we hope people that don't watch theatre come watch the show, because I think some people from the hood are going to watch this and go, what the hell are these idiots doing? They're just being idiots. This is theatre? Mm. It's like, yeah, because we're breaking all the rules. We're not going to give you a beginning, middle, end story. We're going to give you us being us on stage. We're not going to give you a mental health talk. We're just going to be us and put a mirror in front of the audience, and hopefully they can see themselves. And hopefully they walk away going, whew, with a thought in the head, not just watching a play. Because a play, that's why no one watches theatre in New Zealand, you know? Like, and it doesn't have a cool name, because we're not trying to make that type of theatre. We're just going to be us, have a conversation, and we're gonna find cool, silly, fun, deep, and wide ways to show an audience who doesn't watch theatre.
Mm.
You know, so it's...
And let them know that those things can coexist.
Yeah.
You can go it's really, really, okay. really deep. You can come back to shallow, yeah.
I want to try to almost use the men's den type of thing that we have done here to incorporate it with the show as well. And Jordan, he talked about this maybe 2 months ago, and it was probably one of the best men's dens that we've had, but it was the idea of forgiveness. And clearly that is something that has happened here. Now, maybe you can't talk about what happens in order for you guys to forgive one another, but Is there tools that you guys have learned along the way? Is there something, if someone's listening to this, who's in a very similar position where you boys have been, whether that's with family, whether it's with friends, co-workers that they love and admire, that are looking for some type of way to forgive someone and potentially get back to the point where you guys are? Because I would imagine now that you've gone through and you've had the highs of the highs and potentially the lows of the lows, that you've seen it all and now you're almost on the other side, or probably on the other side now, and the bond between you three is thicker than it's ever been before. I would imagine that that's where you guys are sitting. But forgiveness is one of the hardest but most important things. And when Jordan talked about it, I think we had one of the biggest responses we've had as well. So is there an angle that you guys have when it comes to something along the lines of forgiveness?
And I remember listening to that episode as well. I think it was 174. it got me, man. I remember sitting in the car and I had to pull over and I teared up a little and I thought of these guys straight away.
Awesome.
And to answer your question, for me, it was like, first off, learning about myself, but then also relearning about the boys. And we were in this patch and I was like, damn, what is this? Is this relearning, refinding, or kind of like reminding myself of what we're like? And it's weird because for me as well, there's always this natural pecking order in a friendship group, yeah. where there's the guy that makes the first call to check in. There's the guy that gets everyone together and let's have a dinner. And then there's the guy, which is me, that sort of just scrolls through the chat and just gives the scene. Yeah. And I was thinking about it, you know, to break that cycle and to feel, to not underestimate the touch of your friendship in that group, and to feel like, you know what, I can make that first call and I don't have to wait for B to call me. I can call him and check up on him. I don't have to wait for Dom to plan something. I can just plan it myself. But yeah, for me, it was just breaking out of that and just not only playing a part in the friendship, but being a part of the friendship, you know. Just learning how to do that. Yeah.
Mm. Sorry, I've got to ask a question.
Sorry, gentlemen, just to break on in. This is fascinating to me because when I watch you three, I see each like a member of my friendship circles, you know, and who's who. But for me, Neil, this is an amazing moment for you because this is, I think, what we're about to witness is a real vulnerability from you, because it's not often the one who's, you know, taken the jab who's then come forward and like, yeah, I'm willing to open this up to a whole lot of people and admit that, you know, I couldn't, not that you couldn't take it, but what you didn't take it like you would have done in the past. And I think that's a fascinating place to start, for you being able to not only unpack it in front of your friends and your boys to witness it, but then to go, yeah, we can make this a stage show. Mm. Can you talk me through the some of those moments when it's just you in the bathroom? You know, you got your shirt off, you're just about to get in the shower, and you're about to do this now. Like, what are some of those feelings you're going through?
Oh man, it gets me every time. It got me yesterday at rehearsals, and it still gets me to this very moment where I get like a little bit emotional about it, and it's, you know, because we're still working through it, and. Man, it's when I sit there, when I really think about it, it's like B was saying earlier, I don't have the answers to it, but I'm willing to, like, I have this big thing where I try and be like my mates, everything like them, I'll try and be like them, but actually stepping back and saying to myself, I don't have to be like them, but I can learn from them. And that's where I sort of change things a little bit, because I'm like, okay, he's confident, he's witty, and I'm trying to copy that all the time, but it's like, nah, man, like, don't do that. Don't try and copy them, just learn from them. Yeah, I hope that answers your question, Mark.
This shit is so deep, like, it's so hard to know where to go, but, like, what you're touching on, like, I assume that, Neil, like, for you, you also know that they're championing you to know your own voice. And I feel like for people that know your situation, that can be a mind fuck sometimes, because you know they're not trying to make you feel like you don't have your own thing, but in your mind you're still trying to, like, process what is my thing. And, like, that's powerful what you're sharing. And what you're touching on, and what Mark just touched on is, you know, I don't know the show yet, but
this, whatever, I know healing's going to come from this. I know perspective's going to come from this. I know joy and laughter's going to come from this. And, you know, in the theatre space, you know, so let's Gaia, bro.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, let's be real. Like,
yeah.
I haven't actually only been to, like, 5 theatre shows. But, like, but often I'm just like.
It's more than most.
The fuck are we watching, bro? Like, so I know the way you guys are going to do it.
Yeah.
It's going to, people are going to feel like they're like us. Like, you know, like, they talk like us. They see things like us. They had a life like us. They came from where we came from. And so, like, it's so exciting to hear these powerful concepts be talked about because, like, that's when the punch happens. You know, that's when the punch happens. So, Neil, I'm so stoked for you. Like,
Thank you, this
is all happening because of you, because your heart's willing to explore this, and obviously your brothers are willing to support. One thing I want to touch on quickly and ask you about, and please elaborate, but I've said this before, and I think particularly in Maori Pacific men, no one really understands how potent brotherhood is for us. Like, I've said to people this before, and I've been given like weird looks, but, and I don't know how to rephrase it, so just like shifters, just hear what I'm saying. But I think for some men, like, it's more intimate than some relationships which some of our men are in with wives or women. Not to say that those aren't intimate, but when you have day ones, and some of us didn't have fathers, or we didn't have homes that raised us as we become adults and realize we should have been raised like, or that other people had, or they had other spaces. And then you have your boys that half the drink with you, half the pie with you, said you could stay when no one, when you didn't want to tell them you didn't feel safe at home, but you went over there anyway and you're just hanging around playing PS. Like, there's so many different angles to look at this. I think about that all the time. Like, there's a potency in brotherhood that is very intimate and it's very deep. And then I think about the show, and you talk about you guys thought you cracked it, and then a fracture happens. How does that then, and I'd love to hear from each of you, when that fracture happens in a bond that is incredibly powerful, you individually, how does that affect how you love others? How does that affect how you go and father? How does that affect how you see the world? And what has that journey been like since the fracture and coming back to this? Because I assume, like, you go back and you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I just need to breathe, bro.
Oh, yeah. I had an
emotional fear. You go first, man.
Good, man. Like, to touch on the start of that question, like, I have an older brother, but we grew up in a time where he's still trying to figure out how to be an older brother. We had good moments, man, but it was when I met these guys where I started picking, you know, off little moments of and I started to look at them as like an example of an older brother. And when that fracture did happen, I stopped making friends. Yeah, I did, not because I didn't believe that friendship was a thing, but because my journey was different. I had to go away and really look inside, look into myself, and, you know, fix me first before I can come out and fix whatever was in front of me. I stopped for a while, and I guess that led me on the path of just going away. And, you know, we still turned up for each other all the special occasions. And that's what I was gripping onto, was just, let's just turn up. Let's just turn up and not trying to force anything, you know, and just trusting the space that we have for each other will eventually, if it was meant to be, then it would, you know.
Bro, that's tough, eh? It's in Samoan culture, we have a thing called leva, the space in between. How we see the world is we see it through the space of leva, the space relationship between me and you, Brooke, me and you, Jordan, me and my wife, me and my boys. You always got to balance that. When the va is broken or when it's stepped on is when it's unbalanced. So we got to try and figure out how to balance that, not just with people, with nature, with the cosmos, with God, with everything. That's how Samoans originally
thought. And in this brotherhood, the vow was stepped on, and we didn't know where the balance was. And be honest, bro, I hated these guys. I'm not even lying. I hated them. And because to me, loyalty is everything. I used to think, I'll die for you. I'll happily die for you. It's all that alpha male stuff. Like, give me a reason to die for you. I'll die for you. But they didn't need me to die for them. They just needed me to shut up, listen, and love them. And it hurt knowing that, because I was like, wait, but my whole worldview is, I'll give you this. And they go, we don't need that from you. We need this. And I was like, how does that even work? Like, why? Like, what are you talking about? You don't, but I'll give you my life. Dude, just like, just love us, G. And it was, that's where the hate came from, because I was hurt that they weren't willing to take the thing that I was offering. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I also wasn't willing to give them the thing that they needed.
Just touching on that, the space in between, going back to the night when we did have like the fight, and then all of a sudden the cracks between us like started to show, and then within the friendship there becomes like this just a weird air that flows between you. It's kind of like a bit hollow, and then you don't address that, and then you're trying to figure out what the hell is going on every time we do catch up, because the air is still like that. There's a weird breeze that flows between us now where it used to be really solid. And then I just remember going, you know what we need to do? We need to tell these old stories that we always told, that we always laughed at, and that's what keeps us tight. And you try to hold on to these moments by telling these old stories, reliving, like living in the past rather than just trying to figure out how to live now. But then also going back to like your question, I've realized with like these guys, they're a piece to my puzzle, you know? You don't know that, and all of a sudden you're kind of lost, because B has a great superpower where he does these random chicken calls at the most random times where I didn't even know I'm in this weird mood. But B's just like, haven't heard from you in a little bit. You're good? You know, your best mates just know that you're not all good. So just thinking about small things like that, or just thinking about, if I'm not with these guys, I don't get to live in the world and just see it through Neil's eyes. You know, if these two aren't around, I don't get to see like Neil's beautiful perspective of the world. All of a sudden, you just kind of feel lost. You know, these guys are a piece to my puzzle.
And we were so close to losing it.
Totally, bro.
We're like millimeters away from giving up on it, you know, because that's what people do.
It's so easy.
Think of people in your head that you've given up on, and you've just, the world is just carried on. The sun's come up the next day,
yeah,
and that piece of the puzzle is gone, and we almost lost a big part of how we see the world.
It'd be so weird if people were to be like, "Oh, what are Neil and B up to?" And then my response would be like, "I don't know."
Bro, I hate this.
Man, all the outside know too, but they don't know how to push you on it. Like,
totally. Yeah. I don't know.
I love this shit, man. Yeah. I love this shit. What is your hope? People that are, and a big push for us is to get people that don't watch theatre and don't care to come to the show. Yeah. Because I know you speak in a language. I know you know how to capture a moment that is, that we will get and we will understand. That is why I have you guys here.
Yes.
Not just because, you know, particularly I have a really strong relationship with Bueller, but my respect for him goes to you guys, but that is why we're doing this. So people that are going to come and haven't seen theatre, people that have, what is your hope when they walk out those doors? What from what you guys are building right now and are going to perform?
I hope we're brave enough to tell the story that we need to tell in order for that mirror to go up in front of the audience. Sure, you're going to be watching us, but we need a mirror there. And we need people to see themselves on stage and walk away thinking of those thoughts. You know, like, that's where I feel like art wins, is when the art continues outside of the movie theater, outside of the theater, outside of the TV series, outside of when music continues, like the battle, the hip hop battle that you're talking about. You know, when it continues outside of the realm it's supposed to be in, that's where art wins. Mm. And the reason why we're kind of being sacrificial lambs for ourselves is for our people to do that. Mm. We need that for our people, and we need, you know, not just the shifters, but everyone who is like the shifters. And that's why we're on here. Like, the night that the shifters come in, that's also a koha night. So you can just buy a ticket online. It's free. And you pay whatever you like on that night, on the 2nd of May. Ticket prices are $35, which is pretty cheap. If you're under 30 years old, it's $25. $25. So we're trying to make it accessible for our people. The dream for myself, maybe for the boys, is if normal theatre goers can't get into the show because it's sold out by real people who have never seen theatre. Mm. You know, that would be cracked it. And it ain't about money for us, because there ain't no money in, you know, in like theatre like that. But it's like, this is what 660 are doing on tour. We're doing this on stage for us and for our people. Yeah,
yeah, man. And I think you said it as well, Bea, last week, that there's no point in having a sold out show when the right people ain't there.
Yeah.
Want
them Grey Lynn?
Yeah.
I mean. That's such a good point. I hope I say this right off the back of that. Because you keep talking about, and there's no doubt about it, is the people that are there and doing it for the people. And Jordan touched on it, is the people that look like us, that have come from the same place as us, who talk like us. But I would imagine individually it's probably pretty different as well. Who are you trying to talk to or show off your art to in this? And I'm not talking about someone who looks like us. I'm talking about the adult who has a broken inner child, or the lost soul out there at the moment. Like, who are you trying to talk to or show off your skills to when it comes to this theater and what you guys can display?
Myself and my older brother. Yeah, my younger self. And my older brother today. Yeah.
Yeah, myself as well. I always think, and I'm like, damn, man, I hope my brothers have friends like me, you know, in life. And I hope people out there don't underestimate the touch on their friendship, you know, the power that they might have if you're the one that just sits back. Just jump in there, man. You know, make that first call. You know, plan that get together, man. Just do it.
I'm trying to talk to my baby brothers. And yeah, I'm the eldest of six. Four brothers, one sister. I'm trying to talk to my sister as well. So I'm always trying to, we got no dad, so I'm setting the bar. So it's just like every chance I get a chance to do art like this where I get to say something, I speak to them. And through them, I speak to everyone else. Mm. Also trying to talk to Paul Mangasiva. I'm trying to talk to all those guys, you know, and carry that and let them know. We good, baby. All we need to do is talk. Mm. You know?
I think I love these chats with people that you are, because in another way, like, there's so much talk these days.
Yeah.
Yes.
Know, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, it's a lot of noise. But that's why I like these conversations. That's why I'm excited to see, because I know the work's been done. So the art can do its thing. You know what I mean? Fucking excited, boys. Yeah, excited, and we will get 20 shifters there and more.
Yeah,
and,
please, and come along.
And I know, and how, I mean, like, just semantics, like, I've heard a couple stories behind the scenes of B telling off white people.
We're not doing it like that. Yeah. You don't get it.
Yeah. Well, just people need to understand how we operate. Like, we're not making a show. This is not a show. Like, this is not the theatre show for the year for Massive Coming. This is our hearts. This is tapu, what we're making, you know? So it's like, we have to treat it that way. and there's a different way that brown people operate, and it's not through a Western lens. You can't put it in an Excel sheet and make it work like that, you know?
Yes, you can, Bill.
Yeah, no, you can't. Yes, you can. So it's like, you know, if people need to get a growling, yeah, these boys already know.
Yeah, don't CC Bueller in the email. Just CC him in real life.
Bro, we all need to feel like BA because it's me. Yeah, it's bro. Like, tell him. Bro.
He's the rock, bro.
Yeah.
I love that. The show is called I Love You, G. It starts in April, May 1st, the first show.
Yeah, May 1st to 11th.
For 2 weeks.
Yep, 2 weeks. You can get tickets on Massive Theatre Company.
Massive Theatre Company.
Website.
We'll have all this on our page too.
Yeah, have it all on the page. And right, if we can fill it with our people, fill it with shifters, especially that second night, Koha night. If you got kids, man, you know, bring your daughter. Bring everyone. Bring anyone that you feel like doesn't even need to know about the show, but you see, like, there's a black cloud on their shoulder. Bring them. Surprise them. Because we won't scare them. Because it's silly. Like, as deep as this is, you're honestly going to see it. You're going to be like, these guys are idiots. How is this? How is this so fun and silly, but theatre? But it's a...
Well, that's our power, eh? The duality.
Yeah.
Yeah, the duality.
Tickle your bum and then drop you. No. Oh, thank you, boys, for your time.
Thank you.
I can't wait. And we'll be there. We'll be there. Awesome. Love you guys. Yeah.
Appreciate you guys.
Woo! That's the show, boys. Absolutely incredible.
How was that?
Very powerful. Can't wait to head along to that, but very incredible.
100%. Boys. And as we always say every show, guys, don't forget to check on your people.
That's it.
Check on your people. Always love you. See you tomorrow.
This is The Shift. The Shift.
Go home, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go home.
The Morning Shift.
I'm going to make him an offer he came with you.
The Shift.
I love you.
This is The Shift.
Got it.
Okay.
I like the burger. Unbelievable.
Let's get it, get it.
Special shout out to our mates at chemistwarehouse.co.nz, New Zealand's number one online pharmacy. Try click and collect today. What you gotta do? Pretty simple. Like any website, go in there, buy what you want to buy, and click and collect. You don't have to get in all the lines, don't have to go down all the alleys. Everything you need at chemistwarehouse.co.nz.